students in Baltimore County have been back to school for a week. City students begin their school year today. Paula Willey is Maryland Morning's resident expert on great books for kids, and she joins me this morning to talk about some books that kids may want to dive into as they say goodbye to summer. Paula is a librarian at the Parkville Kearney branch of the Baltimore County Public Library. She's also a library consultant. She writes about books at her blog, Unadulterated, and she is a columnist for the Baltimore Sun. Hey, Paula, good to see you.
Hi, Tom.
Did you have a good summer?
I had a terrific summer.
Good. So we're going to talk about something that folks may think at first blush is sort of apostasy. We're going to talk about audiobooks for kids. Is it a good idea for kids to listen to books instead of reading them?
Well, it is a fantastic idea for kids to listen to audiobooks. Instead of reading is not where you want to go with it. But in addition to reading print, audiobooks help develop reading skills that are not necessarily about decoding and learning the alphabet and learning how words are put together. Audiobooks help with vocabulary, comprehension, fluency, and pronunciation.
So when you buy an audiobook, you get a CD or you get a download. Do you also have the option of reading along with the audiobook?
You always have the option of reading along with the audiobook. And some research says that it's very good, especially for kids who have processing issues or learning disabilities related to reading.
So what would a processing issue be, for example?
That is reading and not taking a while to decode what the words are on the page. So the listening and reading at the same time gives additional clues for meaning.
Mm-hmm. But when they're just listening, mm-hmm. you know, if they're in the car or if they're in bed, you know, before they're going to sleep or something like that, they're still using that same part of their brain to imagine what the scene looks like, to imagine what the character looks like and, you know, how she's talking, et cetera. I mean, they're using the same skills as they would use were they actually reading the text.
Right? And in some cases, more so, because a kid can comprehend a book at least 2 grade levels above what they can read. So mm-hmm. especially for a developing reader who is stuck with, you know, what we used to call Dick and Jane books, they can listen to something that's much more complex, that has multiple points of view, that has flashbacks, and they're developing critical thinking facilities, they're developing the ability to make connections, and they boost the auditory stamina and focus. So that means, you know, as you get older and in school, you're receiving a lot of your information in an auditory way anyway. You're sitting there listening to lectures. So if you have developed your ability to focus on receiving information through your ears, then you are way ahead when it comes to taking notes in class.
Good skill to have. What's your take on this? When my daughter was young and my wife and I would read to her, I would do voices, you mm-hmm. know, different characters and stuff. And she always bristled at that. She'd say, no, Daddy, just read it. And that was a weird thing for her. What do you recommend to parents? And what's your experience as a children's librarian? Do kids like that, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, they do. Maybe you weren't very good at it.
I probably wasn't. You
know? No, they do. And the best audiobook narrators, in fact, there's a book called Skullduggery Pleasant. It's a long series. And we listened to the first one on audio. And the narrator can talk like this. You could talk like Skullduggery Pleasant. And then I would try to read the next books. And my kids were like, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Are most books for children available as audiobooks? It seems that almost every, you know, big work of fiction and even nonfiction these days is published in an audio version.
Yeah. To a certain extent, we're seeing audio versions of most of the books that come out from the major publishers. Not only that, but children's books are more likely to get a narrator who is somebody you might have heard of, strangely. Mm-hmm. So you'll have, you know, famous actors reading these books.
Yeah, we have an example of that. Mm-hmm. Here's Kate Winslet, and she's reading Matilda, famous book by Raoul Dahl. And when you go to that page on a place like Amazon or the Ivy Bookshop or something, you see, you know, 12 other titles of Raoul Dahl mm-hmm. also available on audiobooks. Here's Kate Winslet reading Matilda.
Some parents go further. They become so blinded by adoration, they manage to convince themselves their child has qualities of genius. Well, there is nothing very wrong with all this. It's the way of the world. It is only when the parents begin telling us about the brilliance of their own revolting offspring that we start shouting, "Bring us a basin! We're going to be sick!"
There's another one that you've brought this morning that has what you would call a culturally accurate voice. I found this one really interesting. Malala Yousafzai has a book, autobiography, I Am Malala, How One Girl Stood Up for Education and Changed the World. She's, of course, the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And it's not Malala reading the book, but it is another Pakistani woman. I guess there are a lot of books like this that also, you know, have voices that are culturally accurate. So for those kids from those cultures, it's important for them.
Well, it both ways. For kids from those cultures, it's great to hear a story read by somebody who sounds like them. So, you know, they hear themselves in the story. But for kids who are not from that culture, it brings the story even more to life. Because it can be difficult when, you know, we want kids to be reading about stories from other places, but it can be difficult for them with the proper nouns and with regional dialects that they can't look at on the page and hear in their mind.
Mm-hmm. Here's Neela Vaswani, and she's reading Malala's autobiography.
But there's a note of worry in his voice, as if he fears I won't be there to reply. Because it was not so long ago that I was nearly killed, simply because I was speaking out about my right to go to school.
Yeah, that's a beautiful sounding voice too. She's got a great voice. You brought one where Artie Johnson is reading a book called The Misadventures of Edgar and Allan Poe, The Pet and the Pendulum. This is Artie Johnson from Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In back in the day.
I wondered if you'd remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a cute series about two twins, Edgar and Allan Poe, and of course they're geniuses, and of course all sorts of macabre little things happen. But he's got that sort of dry voice. He does a real sort of noir sound, and it just really adds so much to this story.
All right, here's Artie Johnson reading The Misadventures of Edgar and Allan Poe.
In mid-October, the Poe twins had been suspended from the entire Baltimore City School District on trumped-up charges. In the interim, they'd had amazing adventures.
That's really wonderful. Do you think there are certain kinds of books that work particularly well as an audiobook?
It really depends, and it kind of depends on the reader. It somewhat depends on the writing. I find books that have maybe a more fantastic setting, the How to Train Your Dragons books, are great on audio, and that's partly due to the reader. Those books are read by David Tennant, who was Doctor Who a couple of Doctor Who's ago. And sometimes these readers can really get the dialogue and create individual characters, even with a large cast of characters. Jim Dale was famous for that with the Harry Potter books. He's got like an army of people, and they were all vocally distinct. Other readers are not as talented at that. And it is better with description.
Yeah. But, you know, bottom line, there are some really solid research-driven benefits to kids listening to books as well as reading them.
Absolutely.
All right, Paula, always good to see you. We'll see you soon next time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Paula Willie is a librarian at the Parkville Kearney branch of the Baltimore County Library. She writes about literature for children and young adults at her blog, Unadulterated. She's also a columnist for the Baltimore Sun. We'll have a link to Paula's blog and to a list of the books that we talked about this morning at WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Johnna McCone
and Connor Graham.
We have production help from
Christy Forrest
and Scott Seiss.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1814, Kent County militia confronted and repulsed British forces at Cox Field near Fairlie on the Eastern Shore. American losses were slight, while the British lost 15 men, including their commander. We're back Wednesday. Hope you'll be with us.